Tonight, if we can read together the first five verses, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 through 5. All right, let's read together, starting in verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Father, we thank you, we praise you for tonight. And Lord, it's just a reminder, Lord, how we need your grace and help in every situation. And Father, I commit ourselves to you now and to pray and bless our time. Amen. I'm not planning on leaving, but... I need something cleared out. Just hum and sing amongst yourselves for a moment. Thank you. All right. That's a little bit better, I think. Pardon me. 1 John chapter 5. And I want to just review, first of all, last week we looked at two new verses that we were looking to memorize, Philippians 1:6 and Psalm 119, verse 11. So let's say those together. If you haven't learnt them, let me encourage you to, so that you can be blessed as you do that. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. All right, you say it without me while I get cleaned up. All right, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All right. Last week we looked at verses 1, 2 and 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God. And we saw how that, first of all, if we're truly saved, then there'll be this, what I called last week, I think, a triangle. We'll love God, and if we love God, then we must love his children, and then we have to love the word of God. And these three are part and parcel of one another. We cannot say we love God if we do not love God's children, and we cannot love God's children if we do not love the word of God, because loving the word of God means we love God. And so that's the triangle, as it were, that we looked at last week. And remember again, I just want to remind us of this last part in verse 3, his commandments are not grievous. God's commandments are not burdensome, they're not heavy. If we would by faith accept them and obey them by the grace of God and the enabling of God, they're not burdensome. And the world would try and encourage us that that's exactly what they are, that God's a killjoy, he doesn't want us to have any fun, he just wants us to be locked away and all that kind of thing. So just again remind you of that, his commandments are not grievous. Now he goes on and says here in these verses 4 and 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now when we talk about the world, we get onto that from time to time, don't we? Back in chapter 2 we were looking at that. But when we speak of the world, we're not just talking about worldly entertainment, for example. Sometimes I think Christians have the idea, as long as I'm kind of not involved in worldly entertainment, then I'm not worldly. But we can be involved in the things of world in all sorts of areas which aren't necessarily termed entertainment and still be worldly. involved in the world and the things of the world. So let's just make that clear tonight. The world is something like this. Everything that is opposed to God, everything which wants to stop us from living for God and glorifying God, that's the world. Everything out there that is in opposition to the things of God and our living for God, that's the world. Now we know in other passages in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, Paul says we're not to be conformed to the world. There's this being made into the mould of the world. We know in James that James could say in chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so it's very clear there's some warfare here, there's some enmity here that the Christians feel very much. We know in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15-7, we've been there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so these are the things we're talking about, the world. And John in these two verses gives us some encouragement how to overcome the world, how to overcome being conformed to the world, how to overcome being a friend of the world, how to overcome loving the world. And so John says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And so three times he talks here of being an overcomer. And we need to notice here first up, and then we'll get into it a little bit more, this overcoming is not a method, it's a person. All right, this morning when we were preaching on salvation, we reminded everybody that salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the truth and the life. Salvation is a person, and so it is. If we're going to have victory over the world, then it's going to be because of our relationship with that person, or lack of if we don't have victory. And so John says again there, overcoming the world, overcoming the world, overcoming the world. That ought to encourage us. Three times he says we can be overcomers. And the idea of overcoming is to carry off the victory, or to go away being victorious, not defeated and washed out and wiped out. So who can be the obvious question is, well, who can be an overcomer then? In verse 5 he says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. John said, I'm glad you asked who can be the overcomer. In verse 4 he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If we've been born again, then we... And I want to say this, I believe there's two aspects here tonight. The first aspect is this. When we leave this world as a believer, we will have overcome the world. There'll be no more world. Amen? So I want us to understand that, because sometimes if we read this, we can be thinking, well, I don't know, I have my struggles, and I just, it talks about overcoming the world, but let's first of all see the big picture. The big picture is that we have overcome the world in Christ. Okay, it's like salvation. We are justified by faith. That's taken care of. But our daily walk is our sanctification. Our ongoing walk with the Lord can vary. But our justification can never vary. Our overcoming the world can never vary in the sense that in Christ we have overcome the world and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, waiting to depart from here and be with him. In that sense, we are total overcomers. It's a little bit like the picture that Paul gave in Romans 8, where he talks about all things working together for good. Why? Because we are predestined to be conformed in the image of Christ. And then he says, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and who he justified, he also glorified. So there's this sense where it's all taken care of. We are glorified. We are justified. We are called of God. It's all taken care of in, if I call it, the big picture. When this old world's wrapped up and been burnt and everything else, then we will be glorified. But in God's eyes, we are glorified. In God's eyes, we have overcome the world because we're in Christ. Okay, so I think that's important to see first of all. Because the second part of this is our ongoing. How, that's all very good, Pastor. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven so they don't have to worry about this business. Then I will be a true overcomer. Correct. But we've still got this life to live, haven't we? We've still got the struggles of the world, the flesh and the devil. And so we want to see some things here tonight. I trust it'll be at least maybe give us a little glimmer of hope that there is a possibility that we can be victorious and be overcomers. Now, one of the ways that has been happening or has happened over history is for people who see the dangers of the world and they see the problems in the world and all the philosophies and everything else that goes with that, and so they go and live up on a mountain in a cave, or they go and live in a monastery, and they think, well, that solves it now. I'm totally separated from the world. But what they forget is they still have their own flesh. That doesn't get rid of the world. It doesn't, you know, that's not the victory going into a monastery. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say just go and cut yourself off from the world and then you won't have any problems. No, God doesn't say that. He doesn't even hint at that. You think about the Lord Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Have a look there in verse 15, John chapter 17. And this marvellous prayer of the Lord Jesus. But notice what he says in verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So the Lord Jesus has prayed for us, not that God would take us out of the world, but that God would keep us from the evil. In other words, he would protect us and keep us and watch over us. I want to show you this thought again in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul, he's not talking directly about this, but I believe it just highlights a point here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's a chapter dealing with church discipline. A man in the church was guilty of fornication, and Paul says fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. All right, so he deals with that. Then we get down to verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said, I've told you before not to have company with fornicators. But notice what he says. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. See, the Lord Jesus prayed not that you take them out, but that you keep them from the world. Paul says here, listen, we have to live in the world. The world's full of fornicators, and it's full of extortioners, and it's full of idolaters. For then must we needs go out of the world. But they would say, but Paul, didn't you tell us we're not to have anything to do with this fellow? He said, that's correct. I'm telling you that. Verse 9 or verse 11 says, but I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother is it or be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. All right. Paul says, look, let's get this straight. I'm not telling you to get out of the world. I'm telling you this man needs to be on discipline because of his fornication. But you're still in the world and you still have to minister to fornicators and covetous and idolaters and all those out there in the world because they are lost and they need the gospel so they can be saved and delivered from their sin. But he said, here's a man who is in the church, a believer living in this sin, he needs to be put out and don't have anything to do with him until such time, well, until he repents, you see. So the Lord Jesus said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but you keep them from the world. So again, it's no point to think, well, if I could just live on a mountain, you know, have a little cave up there, and how good would that be? Now, in some ways, that would be good. But it wouldn't give us the victory that we desire. Because John doesn't say that's how you get the victory. That's not how it happens. One of the other ways, pardon me, it doesn't happen is by we live by a set of rules. You know, and they say, so that means you don't have any rules. No, you have rules. Don't go that far. But just by living by a set of rules will not give us the victory, because by living by a set of rules, the problem is our faith becomes this. I've got these rules, therefore I'll be victorious. No, it doesn't say that. Our victory is not in a set of rules. Our victory does not come through living on a mountain or in a monastery. Our victory comes by faith. Now, hopefully I can expound on that just a little bit, so it might be helpful. But you understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to get out of the world. That won't solve it. It will in the sense if we've gotten out of the world and the Lord takes us to heaven. Now, that's a different matter. Then we truly are an overcomer then. But that's not what he's talking about here. And so John says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in what? Faith about what? Okay. Well, first of all, he says there, if you're born of God. So that means we have to be a child of God if we're going to overcome the world. But then he says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so there's some truths about the Lord Jesus that we must believe and we must act upon if we're to have this victory by faith. By faith. And so we're going to be living by faith in the Lord Jesus. That means we're going to be trusting in him. He is not only the person of our salvation, but he is the person who enables us to live a victorious Christian life. Faith in him. Okay, so John says he's the Son of God. Now, what does that tell us about him? As David said in that hymn, you know, I think about him all the day long. Do we really? Do we really? Do we rarely think of him? You see, because this victory is in him. My faith is to be directed and found in the Lord Jesus. So I better start thinking about it. Because he's the Son of God. Now, that tells us something. That means he's all powerful. You say, I can't do it. He can. He's got all power. The Lord Jesus has all power. Well, I don't know some things. He does. He's all knowing. Well, I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about that. No, he is the Son of God. He knows all about it. He is able to give us the victory. This faith that John speaks about is in this person who believes. Sorry, for us, it's the believing in the Lord Jesus that he is the Son of God. That he's well able to. That he can take care of us. That he has proved himself able to do that. He saved us. If he can save us, can he keep us? I mean, he doesn't just save us, does he? So, well, all the best. Okay, move on to the next one. See you when you get to heaven. Now, here's another one. They want to get saved. Okay, let's save them and see you now. No. He is not only the way, in the sense he's the door into salvation, but he is the way in the Christian life. You think about the Lord Jesus. What did he say in John chapter 16, verse 33? Jesus said, unto my, these things I speak unto you. What? Have a look. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things speak I unto you. About what? Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Notice what he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In him we have peace. And, you know, we think, well, I don't think the Lord understands. He said, just a minute, I've overcome the world. I do understand exactly what it's about. I have been tempted at all points like as you are. I've overcome the world. And so that's why our victory is in the Lord Jesus. Faith in him. Trusting him for the victory. In him we too can overcome. Because we are in him. When we get saved, we are in Christ. We've already spoken of that. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. That's where we are. You think about it. The vine and the branches is a great illustration that when we are in this union with Christ, the branch abiding in the vine, we have victory every time. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how we have the victory. Through him. You say, I'm not sure that I understand it. I think God says we do it by faith. Not necessarily understanding every detail of it, but by faith, I find myself... You think about what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, speaking about living by faith. In Galatians chapter 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, he says what? I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now it seems a mouthful, doesn't it? I was sharing the other day how that verse has been a challenge to me over the years, and it's one of those verses I've kind of, as it were, laid out before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I want to know what that means. Not only intellectually, but I want to know what that means in my own personal experience so that I can say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It's not me. It's not me. Christ liveth in me in the life which I now live. I live by the faith of God, of the Son of God, or faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul knew what it was to have victory over the world. Why? Because Christ was his life. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live, and it seems a contradiction, doesn't it? That's why I had to say, Lord, you need to show me exactly what all this means in practice. I'm crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died with him. When he was raised, I was raised with him. I'm now seated in heavenly places in Christ. And yet here I am walking around on planet Earth. How does that all work out, Lord? Lord says, well, by faith. That's how it works out. It works out by faith, as the Apostle Paul found. And so he could say, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we need to consider the Lord Jesus, don't we? You think about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through how? Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 4:19. But my God shall supply all need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's where we go when we feel poverty stricken. I'm not talking financially now. We go there for finance as well. But when I feel like I can't make it, I come back and my faith is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think of him all the day long. Why? He's my life. He's the one who gives me the grace. He's the one who gives me the strength. He's the one who knows everything. He's the one who has a plan. He's the one who's working all things together for good. He'll provide my need. Faith says, I believe that. I believe that in Christ I am more than conquerors, as Paul said. I believe that he is my life. I believe that he will work in and through me in such a way that I will be an overcomer daily, overcoming the world. So how do you do that? By faith. By trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus. Not just for salvation, but for our ongoing needs. By his grace, Paul said, that's how I live. By grace. Whose grace? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that he gives. Everything that we have is in Christ. Everything that we need is in the Lord Jesus. It's not in a plan. It's not in a method. It's not in setting a whole lot of rules, and rules are needful. There's no question about that. But that's not where my trust is. It's not in sitting on a mountain and all that sort of thing. And that could be interesting for a while. But that's not. It's by faith. Trusting in the Lord Jesus. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Remember what John said earlier in chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself what? Also so to walk as even as he walked. And so I look to the Lord Jesus and I see, how did he walk? How was he able to overcome the world? Well, one way, he lived in strict obedience to the word of God, didn't he? He fulfilled every jot and tittle. That's one way he overcame the world. How are you and I going to overcome the world? By trusting the Lord Jesus to enable me to walk in total obedience to the word of God. That's how he walked, and in him, we're more than conquerors. How did he get the victory? Well, we know what happened with Satan. He pulled out the word of God and defeated him. How are we going to defeat him? Same way. In Christ, we have all that we need. In him, he is our all in all. And we sing of those things. I think maybe there's a hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world shall grow strangely dim. I think of him all the day long. Who needs the world anymore? I've got fellowship with one who says that I'm his friend. I've got one fellowship with one who is all powerful and who is all knowing and who loves me in an incredible, absolute, unconditional way. Why would I bother with the world and the things of the world and all those kind of things? You see, it's all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. Faith in him, trusting him, walking with him. And if you and I are to overcome the world in this life, we must live by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather around your word and to lift up our Lord Jesus. As the Apostle Paul could say to the church at Colossae, he is to have the preeminence. He's not just to be prominent in our lives. He is our life. If we are true branches abiding in the vine, then he is our life. His victory is our victory. His grace is for us. And he will meet our every need. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray for each one of us, Lord, just whatever stage we're at in our Christian walk, Lord, that you would help us to think on these truths. And Lord, help us to know these truths in reality in our lives so that we might be able to say, as the Apostle Paul came to that place where he could say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, may we know those truths so that we could say we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, not just in words, but Lord, in our lives it might be evident that we have the victory, that we are true overcomers of the world. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen.